Go ahead and turn over to Isaiah 55. I want to share something with you that the Lord shared with me very recently. Isaiah 55. And as you're turning, I know you can hear me. How many of you think it would be so cool to hear God speak to you and tell you what He wants you to do? Let's be honest here, okay? Those of you watching, same thing. Lift your hand. I see your hands out there. Hands over in England are going up. Hands up in Canada going up. Hands everywhere going up. Well, I'm like you. You know, boy, I sure want to hear the voice of God. And one of the things that I've taught on over the years is how to hear the voice of God. But let's just be a little more open about all this. Wouldn't it be even better if Jesus would just manifest right there in front of us and just tell us what He wants us to do? Sure it would. Who wouldn't like to have a visitation from Jesus? And, you know, and just talk to Him and have Him say, okay, now here's what I want you to do. Now, if that happened, do you think you would obey? Well, I'm sure we'd all agree. Well, yeah, I'd obey. I mean, for crying out loud, Pastor, if Jesus shows up right there in my living room, first thing, I turn off the television. Then, unless He wanted to watch the ball game with me or something. But then, yeah, you know, we'd talk I mean, my goodness, if He showed up there in person and was telling me what He wanted me to do, I'd be kind of, you know, dumb not to do it. Well, I understand that sentiment, and I'm right there with you. I feel the same way. And yes, I would like Jesus to show up and speak to me. But remember what Jesus told Thomas. He said, you know, Thomas, you believe because you see, but blessed are those who believe even though they don't see. Well, either way, it'd just be nice to hear Him say something. And I mean, you know, just like in that movie, The Ten Commandments, you know, Moses, you know, you like to hear God speak your voice, Sandy. Just speak to it, Mary. And yes, Lord, it'd be nice. But now, I want you to see something here in Isaiah 55. In verse 11. God says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Now, I want to present something to you about this verse that for many people is going to cause you to sit back and kind of think, God says, my word, when it goes forth out of my mouth, it won't return void. It will accomplish the thing I sent it forth to accomplish. Do you think that happens every time? Do you think that every time He speaks, everything He says comes to pass? Now, don't be too quick with your answer, especially if you're thinking about answering out loud. Let me throw this out to you, food for thought. Doesn't the Bible say, doesn't God say to us in His Word, it is not my will that any perish, but that all come to repentance. Is that not His word? Has that happened? Come on now. Has that happened? No, it hasn't. Because there are a lot of people out there who are living lives where they haven't repented. Maybe you've heard the stories too, like I've heard them, of people, they get mad at God for something. Anything. I mean, whatever it was, some bad tragedy in the family, something like that. I don't know. But they get mad at God. And then they get sick and they're laying there in the hospital. And somebody's trying to talk to them to Jesus. I'll never forgive God, you know, ever. I mean, and they die with that attitude. Well, they go to hell. I mean, that's just the way it is. So we see that God's word, when it goes forth out of His mouth, it will accomplish what He sends it forth to accomplish. However, there are times He needs our cooperation. You know, the Bible talks about in another place, can two walk together except they be agreed? God's word will accomplish everything He has sent it forth to accomplish, but sometimes what He speaks needs our action, needs our willingness to act upon it. Well, if think of it this way. How many people, Christians now, have believed, I mean firmly believed, by Jesus' stripes I was healed, but yet they died of a sickness or a disease. But they believed it. They believed God sent His word and healed them, delivered them from their destructions, but yet they passed away from a sickness or disease. Well, where's the problem? With God's word? No. Sometimes we have this idea that when God speaks, or we see something in the word, a promise, it's just going to happen no matter what. Then when things maybe don't happen the way that we think, we can begin to want to blame God, get upset with God. Sometimes we don't even want to verbalize that because we don't want to look bad in front of other people. But we kind of wonder, you know, what's the deal here? What's going on? I mean, God, you said, God's in heaven saying, yep, I said, my word won't return void. It will accomplish what I send it forth to accomplish, but sometimes my word that I send forth needs your cooperation. I said, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, but you've got to call upon the name of the Lord before you get saved. That's just the way it works. So, knowing this, and again, this is a different way of looking at this, because many times when you read this verse and hear it preached, you have this idea that, yes, amen, you know, boy, God's word, it goes forth, and it's going to produce everything He says. Well, sometimes it will. But then, sometimes, if we don't do our part, then we don't see what He promised take place. Let's look over in another spot here. Turn over to Mark chapter 4. Well, in fact, turn over to Matthew chapter 4 first. Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus has been baptized. He's come up out of the water, and the Holy Spirit has led him into the wilderness to literally go 15 rounds with the devil, figuratively speaking. He's going to have a confrontation with Satan. Well, Satan approaches him and he begins tempting him. You know, if you be the Son of God, command these stones to be bread. But in verse 4, Jesus says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God says, my word won't return void. It will accomplish what I send it forth to accomplish. Therefore, if I'm living by the word, then what the word is supposed to accomplish, it will accomplish in my life. Now, I'm just going to throw this out to you. Maybe it's for another sermon, but it's definitely something to think about. This, what I'm sharing with you, what I've shared with you so far, has been a challenge to me. Because I'm having to kind of reevaluate my life to find out how much of God's Word am I really living by? Am I living by my good thoughts about God? Am I living by my perceptions about God? Or am I truly living by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God? Because Jesus says right here, this is what we're supposed to do. So this means I cannot allow my emotions to govern my response to God's word. I have to be willing to allow whatever God's word says be the standard for what I do and what I decide. And man, I'm telling you right now, that is one of the most difficult, hard things to do. It's like we're willing to go along with whatever God says as long as it seems to be working for us. As long as I am in agreement with it. As long as it doesn't seem to be causing me any work. As long as I don't have to put forth any effort. As long as I can pretty much just sit around and do nothing and see it work. I'll live by it. I don't want to be challenged. Now, look, we don't say it that way. But in reality, that's the way it is. Look, I'm just going to... There is no way to get around this. If you make a decision to live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God, the day is coming, you are going to have conflict in relationships with people and very probably conflict in your family. There is no way to get around this. It is impossible to get around this. Because if you make, all right, I can prove it. You want me to prove it? I'll prove it. Doesn't the Bible say that Jesus had brothers and sisters? Yes, it does. Where were they? His whole ministry, where were they? Why? You know, I mean, his mom was there for a bit of the time, but do you, hasn't it ever struck you as being a little odd that we basically see nothing about Jesus' family? His own family. They grew up with him. Now, Jesus was the elder brother. You know, in the Jewish homes, Jewish traditions, the elder brother commanded authority. That was just the tradition. Now, here's Jesus. Not only is he the elder brother, but, you know, he leaves home and he's out doing this ministry. People are being healed, delivered. I mean, all these things are happening. And we basically see nothing about, and his sisters came and prepared him meals. And you see what I'm getting at? There was conflict in that home. In fact, his brother James didn't even believe in him until Jesus appeared unto him after his resurrection. Read it. It's in Scripture. He didn't even believe who he was. They thought he was kind of out there. Well, he didn't help himself. Remember that one day, you know, the mom shows up and, oh, Jesus, your mom's out here. Who is my mother and my brothers? These are my mother and my brothers. Now, you know, I'm just kind of joking around here with that. But, I mean, that did happen, that incident. He had conflict in his home. I'd like to know, where's Joseph in all this? Well, he died. And you know that how? Well, because I read the writings, you know, the undiscovered mystery writings. Well, if they're undiscovered, how'd you get a hold of them? Give me a break, man. There's just a lot that the Bible doesn't record. You're going to have, listen, if you make that decision to live according to every word that God has spoken, sooner or later, you're either going to compromise your walk with God. I'm not saying go back into sin, but you're going to compromise your walk with God to keep peace at home, or you are going to stir up a hornet's nest. And even Jesus predicted this, prophesied this. He said, you can't be my disciple if you don't love me more than your own family. And basically what he was saying is, if you follow me, you're going to have conflict. Get prepared for it now. It's going to happen. Now, me personally, and I'll just say this publicly, if I'm compromising for the sake of family peace, I'm talking some total family, not just Kathy and me, I want God to show it to me. Because the last thing I want to do is stand before God and have Him say, do you realize how much that you hindered my ability to use you because you refused to stand on my word when it came to dealing with your family? I don't want that. See, when you take a stand for God and you're standing on His word, living by every word that proceeds out of His mouth, He will show you how to do it and to do it in a way that is demonstrating His love without compromise. He'll show you. Well, Jesus says, you're supposed to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God has already said, when my word goes forth out of my mouth, it won't return void. It'll accomplish everything I want it to accomplish. We have already agreed. Boy, it sure would be nice to hear God speak. Here, you know, just tell me what to do. Just give me instructions for my life. I just wish I knew what God wanted me to do. Jesus, you know, well, Jesus, take the wheel. Jesus, tell me what you want. Help me out here. Well, look in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Now, Jesus has told a parable about the sower. And he used an actual example of people sowing seed and then birds eating the seed and all this other. Well, the disciples went to Jesus and they said, help us understand this, Jesus. What are you talking about here? Well, in verse 14, Jesus said, the sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So what do we have? Well, we have the sower sowing the word. Then we see Satan coming immediately to steal the word. Because Satan understands the effectiveness of living by God's word more than most Christians. He knows if we make a decision to live by the word of God and make our decisions according to the word of God and his standards, whatever God said will begin to come to pass. He knows this. Otherwise, why would he come to try and steal it? If he did not know that it was going to bring about tremendous results in our life, why in the world would he waste his time trying to come and nullify God's word that's been sown into our lives? Well, then you get down here to the 20th verse, and it talks about how that, yeah, you got this good ground. And there are people that hear the word, they receive it, they bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. Now jump back up to verse 14, and I'm going to give you a whole different way to look at this, based on everything that we've heard so far. Jesus said that we are to live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. God said, my word will not return void, but it will accomplish, you know, once I speak it, it won't return void. It will accomplish everything I have sent it forth to accomplish. Verse 14. God is the sower. Oh God, give me direction for my life. Oh God, speak to me. Oh God, what do you want me to do? God, what is your call upon my life? God, I need direction. I need instruction. I feel aimless. I feel hopeless. I don't know which way to turn. I don't know what to do. I don't know what decisions to make. God, I need your help. Now, if God answers us, is he not sowing his word? Absolutely. See, we take this passage, and the tendency is to restrict it only to what is recorded in the Bible. I say we need to broaden our thinking a little bit. It's not simply a matter of what is recorded in Scripture, but whatever he speaks to you. If I want him to speak, and he speaks, has his word not gone forth out of his mouth? And didn't Jesus say we're supposed to live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God? So now, I'm praying, I'm asking God for direction for my life, and he speaks. And I hear him. Has he not just sown his word? Absolutely he has. Well, Jesus says, Satan comes immediately to steal the word that's sown. That means, okay, think of it like this. When God says something to you, don't you tend to react to it in a positive way? Don't you tell people, well, you know, I was praying the other day, boy, the Lord began to speak to me. Now, if you were a devil, wouldn't you be kind of hanging around to find out, you know, what's up? You know, oh, so he spoke to you, did he? Well, what did he say? And then he's, you know, listening to hear what you tell people that the Lord told you and all that. Don't you think that something's going to be set in motion to try and nullify that word in your life? Don't you think that something's going to happen where Satan's going to try to keep you from fulfilling what God has spoken? Or to get you to not believe what God has spoken? Yeah, I will be there for you, you know, obey me, you know, or what, I will be your peace. Whatever he speaks to you, he's going to do something to steal the word. Jesus said so. Well, let's see this in action. In this same chapter, Mark chapter 4, look at verse 35. Now notice closely the first four words. And the same day. Okay, what same day? The sower sows the word same day. The sower sows the word and Satan comes immediately to steal the word same day. So Jesus has taught the parable of the sower. And in verse 35 it says, "And the same day, when even was come, he saith unto them," to who? The 12. The 12 apostles traveling with him. Now look what he says. "Let us pass over unto the other side." And when they had sent away the multitude, let me just stop right there for a moment. They sent away the multitude. Why was the multitude there? To receive teaching. People got healed. They were seeing miracles, maybe. In other words, there was a church service going on. And Jesus says, "Okay, church is over. Everybody go home." There, if you're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you're going to drag a service beyond its ending point. Then you become the one responsible to anoint it. Trust me, that doesn't work. Jesus stopped the service. It says, when they'd sent the multitude away, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into that ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Now take a look at what's happened here. Jesus has been ministering, and he's been teaching. And we don't know everything that happened this day, but we do know this. He told the parable of the sower. And he said the sower sows the word. Well, the service ends, and he looks at the 12, and look what he says. "Let us pass over unto the other side." Okay, now, service is ended. Jesus has said, "Guys, we're done for the day." Now, if you were one of the 12, what might be going through your mind? What do we do now? Since the service is over, what does Jesus, the Son of God, want us to do now? And they've been telling people to go home. And so Jesus looks at them and he says, "In answer to the question you have not asked, I will give you instructions. Let us pass over the water to the other side." Now I ask you, have they received a word from the Lord? Do they know what the Lord wants them to do next? Absolutely. What have they been hearing? Teaching about the sower sows the word. And a warning that Satan comes immediately to steal the word that is sown. And he tells them, look, circumstances are going to arise. Well, in fact, look, back up here in the fourth chapter. He says in verse 17 that they have no root. They endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Jesus says, let's just pack it up and get in the boat and go to the other side. They have a word from the Lord. They have been hearing. Sower sows the word. They have been hearing that the people who receive it, who hear it and receive it, mean that they take it in, they apply it to their lives, they are the ones who produce the fruit of the word. Now God said, "My word, when it goes forth from my mouth, it doesn't return void, it accomplishes what I send it forth to accomplish." In another place, Jesus made the statement, "I only speak what my Father tells me to speak." So now in this situation, here's Jesus ministering. And I can see him either verbally or internally talking to the Father, "What do you want me to do?" Father says, "Service is over. Tell everybody to go home. You and the apostles get in a boat and go to the other side." He says, "Okay." All right, folks, service is over. We're done. Everybody go home now. Just go on home. Fellas, help me get everybody to go home. And then, guys, listen, we need to get in the boat and go to the other side. Jesus has passed on to them the word that the Father spoke to him. They have received a word from the Lord. Now, what was the word of the Lord to them? It was, get in the boat, sail halfway across, and sink and die. No. It was, let us pass over to the other side. In other words, guys, our destination is the other side. We have to get in the boat and go over that. We're going to the other side. Let us pass over to the other side. Now, they got in a boat. That's fine. And they start rowing, put up the sail, and I mean, whatever they did, and off they go. Things are going great. But then all of a sudden, here comes a storm. It says, there arose a great storm of wind, meaning it wasn't there when they started. Or the Bible might have said something like, and the apostles protested, saying, but Lord, a great storm approacheth. Doesn't say that. Sunny skies or calm skies. Calm skies and water. So they get in the boat, boom, off they go. Halfway across, or wherever they were. A great, not just a storm, but it says, a great storm of wind and the waves beat into the ship. So there's this, the wind is blowing so hard, it scares these guys. They think they're going to die. What was the word of the Lord? Let us pass over to the other side. What was the fruit of the word that would have been brought forth? Arrival at the other side. Did they hear the word? Yes, they did. Did they receive it? Kind of. But with limitations. Here are the limitations. You want us to get in the boat and go to the other side? No problem. Nice weather. Let's go. So they all get in the boat and they take off. What they were really thinking was, as long as we think it can be done, we will do it. You say, well, how do you know that? Because there was no fear of a storm in them when they took off. But when the storm rose up, all of a sudden, they're scared. Waves are beating into the ship. And Jesus, he's asleep. You know why? He's heard and he has received the word from the Father. And that word is, you have to go to the other side. So Jesus says, okay, fine. I'll get in the boat. We'll go to the other side. He knew that getting into the boat and going to the other side was going to result in bearing the fruit of arriving at the other side to receive more instructions. He knew that. That's why he could sleep. Jesus knew that boat was not going to go down. Listen, when Jesus is in your boat, you'll never sink. Jesus knew that boat wasn't going to go down. So he's asleep. But these guys, they're the ones who get all worried. But again, I ask you, did they receive a word from the Lord? Yes, they did. They received instructions from him. But they're the ones that put the limitations on the instructions. In their minds, and every one of us is going to be able to relate to this. In their minds, when they received a word from the Lord that contained instructions for their life, what it meant was, if I obey, everything's going to be fine. There will be smooth sailing. They thought obedience to the Lord meant no conflict, no problems, no challenges, no potential death by drowning. They thought everything was going to be okay. But Jesus just told them, the sower sows the word. The Lord had sown the word into their lives. And he said, and when the word is sown, Satan comes immediately to steal the word. Well, isn't that an interesting coincidence? They receive a word from the Lord. They think they are obeying what the Lord wants them to do. until all of a sudden problems begin to arise. Now all of a sudden God doesn't care. Now all of a sudden, where are you? Bible says you never sleep, you never slumber. Where are you? They thought Jesus had let them down. When they went back there and woke him up, you know what they weren't after? Encouraging words. What they were after is another two hands wrapped around a bucket to bail. Listen, Jesus doesn't need your bucket. He needs your faith. And so here's Jesus. They wake... You know what? I don't think I would want to be the one guilty of waking Jesus up out of a sound sleep because of my lack of faith. Hey, wake up, Son of God. We need some help around here. So, Jesus gets up, and what he could have said was, have you forgotten what I just told you? I sowed the word into your lives. The Father says his word won't return void. It will accomplish. It will, and in this case, it will accomplish us arriving safely at the other side. Fellas, what I did not tell you is that it was going to be a perfect cruise from here to there. I never told you you wouldn't encounter conflict, affliction, persecution from wind and waves. I never told you there wouldn't be challenges along the way. All I told you was go. All I said was we have to pass over to the other side. Now, let's bring this home for us. Oh, God, I want to hear a word from you. Oh, Lord, give me instructions. Oh, Lord, tell me what you want me to do. Speak to me, Jesus. Speak to me, Jesus. He says, all right. And he tells you what he wants you to do. Now you're all excited. Boy, God told me to do something. This is cool. Now I can obey. You know, he blesses obedience. So it looks like I'm going to get some blessings out of this deal. So you set off to do what he's told you to do. Halfway through your assignment, everything's going fine. Then all of a sudden, problems. There arises a great storm. The winds are blowing and the waters are splashing over the deck of your life. Now all of a sudden, you don't know. All of a sudden, you're not so sure. Because in your mind, you thought obedience meant no challenges. And I am just as guilty as every one of you. How do I know you're guilty? Because we're all guilty. We've all been like that. I've even heard sermons. Let me say it like this. I've gotten that impression over the years. Well, when God gives you a word, you know, why the angels are going to protect you. And you know what? If that was true, how come people kept chasing Jesus out of church trying to kill him? One place it says they dragged him out. They put their hands on him and dragged him out. They were going to kill him. Well, that's no way to treat the Son of God. When God gives us a word, we need to understand, it doesn't mean he's promising smooth sailing. What he's promising is that his word won't return void. And it will accomplish what he sends it forth to accomplish. He doesn't mean that in between the time that you hear it, receive it, and complete it, that there won't be a storm. That there won't be challenges. He never said that. Ever. And there's just too many Christians that seem to believe this. Well, God told me to do something and I went to obey and now look what happened. Why everybody hates me. Nobody likes me anymore. I mean, my family turned their back on me. And God says, welcome to the crowd. Welcome to the family. Because that's the way it's going to be. I'm not trying to discourage you. What I'm trying to do is encourage you from a misinterpretation of Scripture. From maybe a misinterpretation of sermons we heard. Maybe wrong sermons that we've heard before. When you receive a word from the Lord, Satan comes immediately. Immediately. To nullify that word, to nullify that promise, to throw you off track, to get you out of sorts, to stop you from fulfilling. If those guys had thought they could have turned that ship around and gone straight back to shore, I'm only guessing, but I think they probably would have. And then gone back and said, hey, Jesus, you need to wake up, man. We're sorry, but we couldn't make it. Storm blew up. We had to come back to shore. But for what, maybe, I mean, where they were, they didn't think they could. When Jesus speaks to you, and when he gives us a word of instruction, best thing we can do is, number one, I need to live by this word, because it has proceeded forth from the mouth of God. Number two, I need to understand it won't return void. It will produce fruit. It will accomplish what God sent it forth to accomplish. But number three, I need to understand Satan comes immediately to steal the word, and there will be opposition arise. And as I sit here thinking about this, I'm not really sure what the opposition will be, but it's going to be there. It might just be mild opposition, or it might be a major storm. I don't know. But opposition is going to come. And again, this is not meant to discourage you from obeying God, because when God tells you to do something, you have to remember He already knows what the devil's going to do. You know, sometimes when we get surprised by an attack of the enemy, we think God is just as surprised. Like He's up there in heaven thinking, well, where'd that come from? I didn't know that was going to happen. Jesus, Son, do you know about that? Holy Ghost, what about you? No. He knows the beginning from the end. And sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we make God like us more than what we intend to. It's like, well, I didn't know it was going to happen. That means you didn't either. I mean, if I'd have known, I'd have told you so you could have prepared something. But, you know, God knows what the devil's going to do before the devil even knows what he's going to do. He knows the devil's plans. Listen, the Bible says we're not ignorant of his devices. That's because God is definitely not ignorant of Satan's devices. So when God gives you an instruction, when he tells us what to do, here's the next step of your life, next step of your ministry. When he tells you what to do, he knows already what conflict is going to arise. And even if he does not tell you the nature of the conflict, if you go to him and you say something like, okay, here's what you've told me to do. Your word won't return void. I'm to live by every word that you have spoken. But according to your Son, my Savior, Satan comes immediately. So, Father, I'm going to assume there may be some conflict. I'm asking you to help prepare me for this conflict, whether it's minor or major. Help prepare me spiritually for this conflict so that when it does rise up, I'm not going to go screaming back to the rear of the boat, yelling, Jesus, wake up. Jesus, wake up. Where are you? Oh, Father, I thought you told me what. You aren't helping. How come you're not? I won't get caught up in that. I realize you knew ahead of time. I mean, think about it like this. Is it possible that Jesus knew the storm was going to arise? I don't know. Maybe the Father didn't tell him. But I know this. The confidence that Jesus had in the Father's words and in His mission, if you will, here on earth, He knew He was going to make it to the other side. He knew He was going to accomplish. He knew a storm couldn't stop Him. He knew that. Then He stands up and He says, peace, be still. Man, the whole thing settles down. And then in verse 41, this right here, this 41st verse, this is to me a very sad verse. They feared exceedingly. And said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? They still didn't get it. They still didn't understand. Shouldn't they have been rejoicing? Hallelujah! The storm is over. Hallelujah! The winds have settled down. Instead, it says they feared exceedingly, and then they start looking at each other. Who is this? Well, like the song says, if you don't know me by now... You will never... Now, we know that they eventually... Bear with me here, all right? Eventually, they figured out who he was. We know that. But even Jesus said to Philip, Philip, have been with you this whole time? You still haven't figured it out? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Have you forgotten the wind and the waves? Philip, come on. And I just wanted to share this with you tonight because the Lord shared it with me to encourage me. And I want to pass this encouragement on to you. When you get a word from the Lord, and He will speak to you, you spend enough time in fellowship with Him, He'll speak to you, give you instructions for your life. give you instructions for your home, your family, your job, whatever it would be, your ministry. And when he does, when he tells you what to do, just get it settled now. Satan does not want me to accomplish what the Father has told me to do. So there probably is going to be some kind of conflict, some kind of something to try to keep me from fulfilling what he wants me to do. But if Jesus can sleep in my boat, then so can I. And he's going to prepare me. He'll help me. That way when the conflict comes, even if I don't know for sure the details of the conflict before it arises, when it gets there, I will still have the peace that passes all understanding, because I have received a word from God, and it will not return void. I can live by it, and I will see the fruit come forth. So don't let these storms catch, they might kind of catch you off guard, but don't let them dominate your life. And don't let those feelings of fear, don't get discouraged. Don't let this stuff happen to you. Just accept the fact Satan hates you. And he just wants to mess up your life no matter what he can. And he wants to do to you what he has successfully done in the lives of so many other Christians, and that is stop you from seeing the Word of God fulfilled in your life. Never give up. The Word cannot return void. Let God sow His Word into your life, and then you live it and see its fulfillment. Hallelujah.